Our next speaker is Mark Kohlner from the ACLU.
Technical difficulties. All right. Well, thank you very much. My name is Mark Kohlner, and I am a card-carrying member of the ACLU. Much to the chagrin of the Bush family everywhere. I'd like to thank everybody at Not In Our Name and all the other participants here for the opportunity to speak with you today. I believe that one of the most important things that we are doing by being here together today and across this nation is to send a clear message to our city, our state, our nation, and the world that in the United States of America, freedom and civil rights matter. Yeah. And they matter most in times of crisis. By being here today, you are exercising, among many other freedoms, your freedom of speech, your freedom to question the policies and activities of your government, to gather in protest, and to demand that the right to due process be guaranteed to every individual in this country. Yeah! Unfortunately, you're going to find this hard to believe, but unfortunately, there are those in our nation, and in particular in our government, who don't believe that our civil rights matter. No. That's right. In fact, they are ready in this time of national and world crisis to compromise, or in some cases, ready to outright breach those very civil liberties guaranteed to all people in our nation by the Constitution. Last year, in response to the events of 9/11, the Bush administration and its Attorney General John Ashcroft I'm going to take that as a boo for John Ashcroft and not for me.
Real enemy. Real one.
One of the things they decided was that didn't matter to them were our freedoms as they bullied Congress to pass the so-called USA Patriot Act. And unfortunately, with the exception of brave individuals like Senator Russ Feingold of Wisconsin and my own Congressman Jim McDermott, who will be speaking at Westlake Center later today, Congress agreed and passed the act. In his opposition to the USA Patriot Act, Senator Feingold wrote, and I quote, "The Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers and people, equally in war and peace, and covers with the shield of its protection all classes of people at all times and under all circumstances." Yeah. But we are not without hope, and we are not without those who would stand up to our government and say, "Not in our name will you deprive us of our freedoms and our civil liberties." Many individuals and organizations rose up to counter the Bush administration and Attorney General Ashcroft. In the days following 9/11, the ACLU of Washington in particular took a proactive role in our state by immediately contacting and offering assistance to many Arab and Muslim faith and community organizations, such as American Community Coalition and the Hate Free Zone, which Congressman Jim McDermott helped organize. The ACLU of Washington also offered free pre-interview counseling for any persons contacted by the FBI in their dragnet questioning of people from Middle Eastern countries. We have distributed thousands of copies in English, Arabic, and several other languages, the ACLU pamphlet, Know Your Rights, which explains people's rights with the law enforcement agencies. Here in Washington State, Governor Locke and Attorney General Gregoire attempted to have the Washington State Legislature pass its own mini-USA Patriot Act. The definition of terrorism in this legislation was so broad that even protests like this could result in severe penalties. The ACLU, along with thousands of Washington State citizens, rallied to oppose the legislation, and thanks in large parts to the efforts of Washington State Senator Adam Klein, the legislation did not pass. And there is more good news at the national level. over the course of this summer, two separate court rulings ruled that the Bush administration must release the names of the over 1,000 individuals who were detained on charges of immigration violations, many of whom remain detained to this day without the right to counsel or even to be visited by friends or loved ones. On August 2nd, Judge Gladys Kessler of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia ruled that, and I quote, "The public's interest in learning the identity of those arrested and detained is essential to verifying whether the government is operating within the boundaries of the law." I got the 1 minute sign. On August 27th, the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, in a unanimous ruling, put it even more succinctly. Democracy dies behind closed doors. But we must still be vigilant and strong in our opposition to our government's trampling of our freedoms in the name of national security. Let your views be heard by your elected representatives. Join with others in organizations like the ACLU, which believe that we can be both safe and free in this country, and that our government has an obligation not to just protect our security, but to protect our freedoms as well. Yeah. Most importantly, today, as we rally and march here in Seattle, send that clear message to our government that yes, indeed, freedom and civil liberties do matter, and no more so than in times of crisis. Thank you very much.
If you have parked over here on the grass, your car is about to be ticketed and or towed as of now. Hello. Wow, I played in front of 50 people once, but this is new for me. We're going to have a great march today. Wow. Now this song is about 30 years old, I think, more or less, and unfortunately, it is as true today as it was when it was written. Come the masters of war. You that failed the big guns. You that failed the death plane. You that build all the bombs. You that hide behind walls. You that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can't see through your mask. You that never done nothing but to build to destroy. I play with my world like it's your little toy. And you put a gun in my hand and then you hide from my eyes. And then you turn and run, Father, while the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can't be won. You want us to believe, but we see through your eyes and we see through your brain. Like we see through the water that runs down the drain. You that fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. And you sit back and watch while the death count gets higher. And you hide in your mansions while young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. They have thrown the worst fear that could ever be her own. The fear to bring children into this world, threatening my babies, unborn and unnamed. Well, you ain't worth the blood that runs down your veins. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, and you might say that I'm learned, but there's one thing I know. Though I'm younger than you, Jesus would never forgive what you do. Now let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? And do you think that it should? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, well, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was fun. Nothing like a little anger. And we have a lot to be angry about and a lot to be grateful about, and I'm certainly grateful that you're all here. So this is a song I wrote. Boom, it hit us, took us down with surprise. But still this country chose not to open our eyes. The president said, oh, they hate us because we're free. Because we're free. Is it true? Are we? Yeah, what are the things we need to be free? The freedom to live in peace, yeah. What are the things we need to be free? I was appalled by what followed. The roundups, the takedowns. Everyone else was at fault, but didn't we contribute at all to our fall? If we had a choice on how to respond, and I wanna throw love in the face, but I know that you'd never have that much grace. And what are the things we need to be free? The freedom to live in peace, yeah. And what are the things we need to be free? And freedom means more that precious free market, and that freedom means more than the colors of consumer choice. Freedom means justice in the world. Freedom means that we all have a voice. Yeah, these are the things we need to be free. The freedom to live in peace, yeah. And these are the things we need to be free. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
All right, the next generation of political folk. Thank you so much, Chris. Our next speaker is a Somali TV producer, and his name is Madi Mowell.
Thank you for showing up. We are gathered here today not in the name of our religious difference or our looks. We are gathered here today in the name of peace. If the individual speaks from the heart, it's definitely for sure that you reach another individual's heart, and that is peace. I happen to be a Muslim, and I believe Muslim is nothing. When September 11 happened, Muslim religion itself has been hijacked. We have got nothing to do with terrorists. Those ugly heads. Thank you guys. I don't know whether you guys were there last night when Scott Ritter was... Wasn't he good?
Yeah.
You see, if they can say whatever they wanted to say, Jim McDermott, who happens to be, I don't know, any other patriotic man than him, then what about the rest of us? See?
Yeah.
So, what can I say? We are all beast-loving people. If Bush is waging war, we have to wage exactly the same peace, you know, as same trigger as he's waging the war. So, my name is Madi Mowell. I'm the member of Somali community as well as the only voice for the Somalis that I produce a local public access. What about the public access producers? See? Give them a big hand. All I'm here to say is, let's do what's right. Let's do what our hearts is telling us to do. No matter which angle or political agenda one might have in his head, at the back of his mind. But we are nothing other than a peace. And that's all I can say today. And thank you.
Quick announcement that Monday at 6 p.m. in Olympia, downtown at Sylvester Park, there's going to be another rally in commemoration October 7th. So all those people in Olympia and from here should go out to that one. All right, our next speaker is going to be from the Hate Free Zone campaign of Washington. Her name is Pramila Jayapal. She's not going to be speaking about the organization in particular. So if you're interested in the Hate Free Zone, please go to www.hatefreezone.org. This is Pramila Jayapal. And I just spoke to Pramila. We have to make a quick announcement. We're going to be marching. We're going to be marching soon. So people who have volunteered to be puppet bodies need to come over and meet on the left of the stage. Thank you. Hello, everyone. When President George W. Bush was sworn into office, he was required by Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States of America to take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend that very Constitution.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, what we have today is not nothing less than a hijacking of our democracy, and we are here to say that we will not stand for that.
Shameful!
The president and his administration are waging an assault on the United States Constitution. They are promoting war in our names. They are telling us that we must be at war with Iraq to protect our safety, while at the same time, they are rejecting Iraq's offer to allow UN weapons inspectors back into the country. They are telling us that we must accept policies that directly undermine and contradict many of our constitutional amendments, including the 4th, 5th, 6th amendments. Read our Constitution. They are telling us that they are pushing forward policies that allow for people to be detained without charge or access to legal counsel, as you heard Peggy Thompson talk about. They are pushing forward policies that allow for secret hearings and for a program that seeks to turn our mail carriers and truck drivers into citizen spies. They are telling us that we should allow the American system of justice, which presumes that individuals are innocent until proven guilty, to be turned on its head. Do you believe them?
No.
Tell me again, do you believe them?
No.
Are you willing to sacrifice the fundamental rights guaranteed to each and every one of us through our great Constitution to further the private political agenda of George W. Bush and his administration?
No.
Is this the America that you believe in?
No.
This morning, the Seattle PI reprinted President Bush's most recent national security strategy of the United States. I ask each of you, if you have not already done so, to please, please, please read this document. In each of our names, this document sets forth a strategy that establishes America as a supreme superpower able to attack countries preemptively in the name of defending us, you and me, the people of the United States of America, with clear disregard for any United Nations conventions to which we are signatories that require America to take its place as one of many nations in the world who seek to exist together and with great regard for each other's sovereignty. What do we say to this?
No!
We say not in our names! At the Hate Free Zone campaign of Washington, we are getting multiple calls each day from people who are being detained, who are being harassed, who are being visited by the FBI. 2 weeks ago on September 21st, over 1,100 people came together at Town Hall. Many of you were there. Thank you so much for being there. People came to hear the personal testimonies, like Peggy Ujamaa's story, of Muslims, of Somalis, of Arabs, of Latinos, of Sikhs, of so many people who have been the targets of the government profiling and harassment. Somali women streamed in by the hundreds. They were wearing hijabs and interpreter headsets so that they could understand the process and participate in our democracy, perhaps for the first time, and we celebrate those people. They sat next to Sikh men who have been victims of hate since September 11 simply because of the turbans they wear. They listened to stories of Latino workers who have been victims of airport raids and employment discrimination, workers who have given their blood and sweat to this country to build it and to do jobs that nobody else will do. They listened to Arab Americans and Muslims whose families have been in detention for 6 to 8 months without charges. These people came in spite of great fear because they understand, as you do because you are here today, that the situation is urgent. We are talking about life and death here. Congress is convening and will be voting by October 18th, according to Jim McDermott. We don't have much time. The House is going to vote on Thursday, and then it's going to go to the Senate because it's going to pass the House. So we need you to act, and I thank you for being here. We are talking, as I said, about life and death. Death of the men, women, and children who will be certain casualties of the war in Iraq. Death of the dreams of immigrants to be safe from persecution that they came to this country to escape. And death, brothers and sisters, of each of your constitutional and civil rights. Attorney General John Ashcroft said in a Senate hearing in December that those who oppose his policies and the policies of the Bush administration are aiding and abetting terrorism. We reject this! The people who speak out do so because they love America and because they believe that public debate and dissension is essential for a functioning democracy! They speak out for freedom for their children and for all of our children. And they speak out because they know that ultimately the erosion of any one of these rights can summarily be applied to all of us. We cannot build happy lives on a ground polluted by violence. This is a defining moment in the life of our country, and I ask that each of you be actively involved in the next few weeks in standing up for the true America. We will either take our place in the family of nations as seekers of peace and justice, or we will continue on this terrible road to war, and each one of us can make a difference. It is up to us now to take our wisdom and to spread it. We must be as unstoppable as a roaring river that rushes over rocks until the edges are dulled. We must be omnipresent like the whispering of winds through trees in a forest. And we must be strong in our beliefs and effusive in our joy. We must stand together, our feet rooted in the ground and our head planted in the dreams of what is possible. Each one of you by being here is brave and strong, and I am proud, very, very proud to be standing for nothing less than our freedom and the Constitution of the United States of America. Yeah. Thank you.
Let us live.
I've got a quick announcement for some of the children out there. If you want to help carry the world, come over here to my left, your right. We've got the world here, and it needs some kids to take it up in our march. So please bring your children over. Right now, our next speaker is going to be Lena Tafaha. She's from the local chapter of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, which is the largest Arab civil rights organization in America. So please give her a warm welcome. Can everyone hear me? I am here today as a very proud and very angry Arab Muslim American. I'm here in the name of all the Arab and Muslim Americans who are legitimately afraid to be here, but I will tell them that you are here for them, and you will make them so proud. Since 9/11, the Bush administration and its team of overzealous hawks has offered only one prescription for what ails this country. War, war, and more war. What do we say to that? No! Not in our name. We are told that the world is composed of those who are with us and those who are against us, affectionately known as the evildoers. Meanwhile, in the U.S., Arab and Muslim Americans are now the hunted. We are guilty until proven innocent. Our features, our accents, our names,
Beards and headscarves have become cause for target and harassment. From humiliation in airports to job and housing discrimination, harassment in schools and neighborhoods, and a general atmosphere of unabashed hatred championed by columnists, religious leaders, and self-appointed experts, no Arab and no Muslim feels secure in post 9/11 America. Reverend Jerry Falwell had the nerve the other day to call Prophet Muhammad a terrorist. It is abundantly clear. That's right. Tell him what you think about that. It is abundantly clear that a war, a silent war, is being waged on Arab and Muslim Americans. Most disturbing of all is how the administration has institutionalized racial profiling under the leadership of John Ashcroft and the Department of Justice. John Ashcroft is trying to recruit you to spy on your neighbors. He is trying to tell you that looking for suspicious people will make you more secure. We all saw what a useful anti-terrorism measure racial profiling was earlier this fall when three medical students who have the misfortune of being dark-skinned and Muslim were rounded up in Florida. They were surrounded by helicopters and police cars and dogs, and a 20-mile stretch of highway was shut down. Why? Because someone suspected them of saying something and they happened to be Muslim. That was their only crime. These people were released because they are innocent, and that is an example of how effective racial profiling is in keeping us safe. On the other hand, as we're busy profiling suspicious Arab and Muslims, we're ignoring the very dangerous terrorists that are right under our noses. You might remember the sinister and sophisticated plot that was uncovered to blow up a mosque and hundreds of its Muslim worshippers in Florida. That illustrates the shortcomings of using racial profiling to fight terrorism. The accused individual was missed completely because he did not fit the profile of a terrorist. He was an Arab. He wasn't Muslim. So John Ashcroft didn't have time to look for him. That incident had the potential to be the second largest act of terrorism on our nation's soil. But John Ashcroft and his team are busy looking for suspicious people. Since 9/11, the administration has been stripping away the very civil liberties that make us American in the name of protecting our freedom. We are told to shut up because this is patriotism. Are we going to shut up?
No!
Are we going to shut up?
No!
Let's help Bush and his team remember what patriotism is all about. Bush thinks that holding up a flag is patriotism, but we know that upholding the Constitution is patriotism. Bush thinks that racial profiling is patriotism, but we know that punishing people for their actions and not what they wear or how they pray is patriotism. Bush thinks that unquestioning support for his administration's policies is patriotic, but we know that patriotism is asking the tough questions in Seattle, in Baghdad, or wherever you happen to be, and holding this administration accountable.
Yeah.
And finally, let's remind Bush what really keeps us secure. It's not the USA Patriot Act. It's not eroding our civil liberties. It's staying out of Iraq.
Yeah.
It's trying people by a jury of their peers and not in secret proceedings and press conferences. It's demanding that Israel should too comply with United Nations resolutions in ending state-sponsored terrorism against the Palestinian people. And most important of all, it's valuing human life over oil. That will keep us secure. That's patriotism. Thank you. Take back America. Thank you, Lena.
I need to make a couple quick announcements. Donation collectors with the buckets, we need you to go over to the blue tent. And also, if there are people who are not marching, we would love it if you would go over to the blue tent and plug in to helping break down and load up the stuff and everything. So we need everyone to be a part of this and everybody to help. And now I'd like to introduce local singer-songwriter Jill Cohn.
Thank you. If I had a partner, I'd call you my husband. And if I had a house, I'd call it my home. And if I was a mother, I'd love my kids forever. And if I weren't so stubborn, I might not be alone. And if I was a country, I'd long for your shore. Our world would be peaceful, and there'd be no more war. And if I knew my homeland, I'd wander no more. And famine and hatred wouldn't have a door. If you were a sailor, I'd be your blue sea, and we would set sail till you're inside of me. And there'd be a rogue wave to my arms you would swim, and being saved wouldn't matter, 'cause we're already together. And if I was a country, I'd long for the shore. Our world would be peaceful, and there'd be no more war. And if I knew my homeland, I'd wander no more. And famine and hatred wouldn't have a door. I was very pleased when I got an email from a woman named Anya a couple of weeks ago asking me to play at this rally, because I was wondering when people were going to start like speaking their minds again in America. Yeah. And it's so amazing to like be in a place where there's all these people that it's okay to speak my mind about a few things, if that's all right. I wrote this song at a time of peace a few years ago, and someone that doesn't work with me anymore was jokingly saying, well, why do you need this song? Because it's peace, man. And I said, because that's how I feel about things and war and warmongers. And there's a better way to go about it. And this song, I didn't know it, but I wrote it for George Bush. This is called Instead of the Innocent. In the silence after digging a shallow grave, will you think of the people have marched for days. Is this the calm before your next anger storm? Will you think of your wife and loved ones, some shelter from your harm? Maybe there is no silence in your head. Maybe there is no silence in instead of the innocence, instead of the innocence, in the silence after you raped someone, will you flash back to a time of your own violation? Or will you torch their house and burn your remorse, piously proclaiming that nature has surrendered to your force? Maybe there is no silence in your head. Maybe there is no silence in your head. Instead of the innocence, instead of the innocence, instead of the after you've orphaned a child, do not believe your anger is solved by genocide. Has there ever been peace and quiet and harmony in your heart? At what point do we let resentments go and the healing start? Maybe there is no silence in your head. Instead of the innocent, instead of the innocent. About the one thing that can stop the war. Our voices, our love, and our diligence. This song's called Love Would Be Enough. And thank you for sharing your voices with each other today, because, like, we can change the world if we have everyone helping out just a little bit. People in this town, they all want a future. And people in the town I used to live in just want money. And wouldn't it be funny if both were a nation? I'm gonna make my own town where no one's drowned in this confusion. I'm gonna find a place where love would be enough to heal the world. Where love would be enough to ease the hurt. Well, people this decade are looking for an answer. And we already found ours, and it was with our voices. And wouldn't it be perfect if we all did that very same thing at the same time? Connecting our souls with the flame is what we're hungering to do. We're gonna find a place where love would be enough to heal the world. Where love would be enough to ease the hurt. What would happen if one love was all that it took? Where love would be enough to heal the world. Everybody's always looking for something better. See if that grass is really greener on the other side. Well, you don't have to be sitting on the fence to see that fire. One life for love, one heart for the soul. 100 miles to make it to my master's door. Well, it shows me to my identity. And now that I believe those words are secret and eternal, now the sun is so bright, it'll guide the way. We're gonna find a place where love would be enough to heal the world. Where love would be enough to ease the hurt. What would happen if one love was all that it took? Where love would be enough to heal the world. 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 Right on. Peace.
The march is not starting. They are just getting into position. There are still lots of things to do.
Yeah, we want to let people know that people are still pouring into the park. The estimates are that we're at least 7,000 strong. Parts of the rally that are going to happen right now. What we need people to do right now
now who are here to support is to stay here so that the people that are moving right now with the globe and the puppets and some of the main banners that are going to be in the front can actually get to the front. So for that reason, we need everyone else to stay here. Thank you. And I want to set a bit of a tone for the march that we're going on. The reason, there's a lot of different kinds of people with a lot of different kinds of ideas about what can change the world that are a part of the Not In Our Name project. And we really discussed what is most needed right now. And we decided that what was most needed was a huge public outpouring of all kinds of people to say, united, not in our name. And we need to gather more people as we march. We want this march to be a peaceful march where mothers that are pushing their baby strollers can feel safe and join right in. Just in case, if you have any legal problems, I suggest everybody get out a pen right now and write this down on their arm, leg, wherever. This is a very important number to have. This will connect you up with some legal people who can take care of you, just in case. This is 297-6810. Once again, that is 297-6810. That is the number you call if you have a problem. Thank you. And this is the Seattle Peace Choir.
I just was talking to a couple 15-year-old young women over here, Susanna Schwartz and Kaya Sanger, and they told me they don't want to study war anymore, down by the riverside.
Okay, everybody, come on and get your hands going, and we're going to all sing together. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, study the war no more. I ain't going to study war no more, I ain't going to study war no more. Ain't no study war no more. I ain't no study war no more. Ain't no study war no more. Ain't no study war no more. We're gonna spread peace throughout the world. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. We're gonna spread peace throughout the world. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. And it's the study war no more. 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 Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. We're gonna reach out to everyone. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. We're gonna reach out to everyone. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside.
One of our singers, Trina, has just composed this song yesterday for this event. I want to introduce you to Trina. Give her a big hand.
Okay, it would help me if you could clap.
In a democracy, we have responsibility. And when we disagree, we must stand up. So when our government on waging war is bent, we must voice our dissent, we must stand up. And I will stand up for freedom, I will stand up for justice, I will stand up to say not in my name. And I will stand up for peace, I will stand up for democracy, I will stand up to say not in my name. For when the rights of one are infringed upon, all of our freedom is gone, we must stand up. Let the imprisoned hear, freedom will persevere, we will not live in fear, we will stand up. I will stand up for freedom, I will stand up for justice, I will stand up to say God in my name.
South African people for years and years could not vote under apartheid. I saw Miriam Makeba a few years ago. She was 7 years old. She said, this is the first year that I could vote. We need to vote. We need to get involved in the system. We need to write to senators, to congressmen, especially about the fundamental issues of freedom of speech. Freedom is coming. Let's hear it, guys. Freedom is coming. Freedom is coming, oh yes, I know.
Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I know. Freedom is coming, freedom is coming, freedom is coming, oh yes, I know. Freedom is coming. Justice is coming, oh yes, I know. Justice is coming.